well, but the war marked a real turning point in the nursing profession from one that was dominated by men to one that would become dominated by women. Clara Barton, who would found the American Red Cross in 1881, served as a nurse, much as Louisa May Alcott did. The key figure in the North was Dorothea Dix, who in 1861 became the superintendent of nursing for the North. Talk about Barton more, talk about Dorothea Dix more in our next lecture. There were also some openings in government, what we would call secretarial and clerk type positions for women in the North during the war. Positions that had also been almost exclusively reserved for men before the war. Stores even began to have a few female sales clerks, although not very many. All of these positions, in benevolent groups, in nursing, and in clerks' positions, were largely held by women of the middle class, broadly defined from lower middle class to upper middle class. These are not working class, poor women who are holding these kinds of jobs and getting the kind of experience that I've been talking about. These are mainly women solidly from the middle class. Well, what about working class women and free black women in the North? Here, the picture is much murkier, as it almost always is, with poorer people in American history. They didn't leave as rich a written record as wealthier, more literate Americans have, and it's often more difficult to reconstruct their lives and experiences than those of the wealthier people. We know that while agriculture boomed during the war, industrial workers experienced a decline in the standard of living, with inflation outpacing gains in wages. That is both for male workers and for women who are working in industrial jobs. Women's wages increased less than half, at a rate less than half that of male workers' wages. Yet women filled a quarter of all manufacturing jobs. And I'll use seamstresses to illustrate this wartime trend. Piece rate declined from 17.5 cents for a shirt in 1861 to 8 cents for a shirt in 1864, more than a 50% drop in what a woman would get to make a shirt. And at the same time that that is happening, of course, remember that inflation is taking place as well. The North experiences significant inflation, nothing like the Confederacy, but women are making less money to sew a shirt, and at the same time, inflation is hurting them as well. So it's a double strike at their earning power. When men of the laboring classes or small farmers died, their widows had little recourse to insurance or relief programs. There were a few things they might look for some assistance, but very few. The number of women arrested increased during the war, sometimes because they preferred to go to prison to try to make a life on the streets. We don't really know very much yet about how this class of people, these really poor people, and often made poorer by the loss of a husband in the army, how they actually fared and made ends meet, if they were able to make ends meet during the war. It could be a brutal experience for a poor person trying to cope with all that the war was bringing. It's important to remember that many of the generalizations that you'll hear or read about women during the war, many of the examples of what happened to women during the war, how there were new opportunities for women during the war, how their lives were expanded or enlarged during the war, applies only to women of the middle class or higher. It does not really apply to the enormous number of poorer women, immigrant women, free black women. We just don't know nearly as much about their lives. It's also hard to tell how permanent some of the changes brought by the war were, whether these expanded spheres really carried on after the war. Often, opportunities will expand tremendously for women during the war. It happened during World War II very dramatically. Women surging into the workforce, doing all kinds of things that they hadn't done before. And then when the soldiers come home, when the armies are disbanded, men went back and took most of those jobs that had been given to women, and women were bumped back in to their old positions. Some were happy to go back. Many were less happy to go back. The same thing happened during the Civil War. When men returned from the army, they often resumed their old positions. If you're the wife of a yeoman farmer and your husband comes home, I can't imagine that you wouldn't be happy to have him back. You don't have to do his work and your work anymore. You can go back to doing your part of that back-breaking work on a small farm. Many women returned to their old roles happily. I'm sure that many did not, that the war had expanded their horizons in some instances, and they would have preferred to have kept those expanded horizons. It was often difficult for them to do so. We'll leave the North here, and next time we'll shift to women behind the lines in the Confederacy, and to women North and South who didn't stay at home but actually made their way to the military front and performed a number of jobs there.